Let's start where Ebola began in the U.S. Right here, outside this room at Texas Health Presbyterian's emergency department. And even though it's been 1 year since Thomas Eric Duncan lay sick with Ebola in this bed, the stigma is so strong, the hospital doesn't want to reveal the room number. Once again, in the tug of war between fear and science, emotion pulls harder. Dr. Daniel Varga, chief clinical officer at Texas Health, says even though staff was aware of Ebola in 2014, no one thought it would happen in Dallas.
We believe we were very well attuned to the potential risk of Ebola, and that we had communicated that fairly aggressively. What we didn't do is train and simulate for that.
Now, the hospital's emphasizing training to prevent confusion. For example, when the state of Texas issued new guidelines on how to put on and take off personal protective gear, administrators didn't just hand out an instruction sheet for nurses to read in their free time.
We're actually training people in donning and doffing the garment. So that's a major change for us in terms of how things were set up a year ago.
Sounds small, but remember the tiniest mistake while removing those protective suits can mean coming down with Ebola. That's the theory behind what happened with nurses Nina Pham and Amber Vinson.
Dr. Fletcher, you have a phone call online.
Communication on policies and procedures, as well as among staff, was one of the critical flaws cited by an independent panel that reviewed what went wrong at Presbyterian. In response, nurses, doctors, and scribes who take notes now work in pods or teams and are all wearing around their necks a small black device with a gray button. Nurse Misty Cogburn uses it to track down a colleague.
Call Annette W.
Cogburn says doctors who used to see 55 patients at a time now are treating a dozen.
We've also set up where we have the physician, the nurse, and the scribe will come together and do the discharge together so that they can ask any additional questions and the whole team's involved.
That's to help prevent mistakes like the one with Thomas Eric Duncan. He was sent home after his first ER visit. Although Duncan, who had a fever above 100, did tell a nurse he had recently traveled from Africa, that information wasn't verbally communicated to the doctor. Here's the thing. Even if the physician didn't know Duncan's travel history, there was another red flag that should have kept the doctor from sending him home. It's called a SIRS, or sepsis score, and essentially it measures when a patient is likely to develop a life-threatening complication from an infection.
When the SIRS score for Mr. Duncan got to 3 or higher and was highlighted in red, the reassessment that we would hope would have happened to go back and find out, so why has Mr. Duncan's SIRS score gone to 3 or 4 and what should we do before we send him home, didn't happen.
That's Dr. Jeffrey Canose. He's chief operating officer at Texas Health. He says now, if a patient hits a high score, it triggers multiple alerts and staffers know to respond. So far, all the lessons learned are meant to help identify people with Ebola, not treat them. And that's because, in perhaps the biggest change from last year, Presbyterian or any other hospital in North Texas won't be treating Ebola patients, at least for now. Dr. Varga explains why.
While I think the care of an Ebola patient is well within the scope and capability of Texas Health Dallas, there's such an overwhelmingly disruptive impact to the rest of hospital operations and the safety of patients and other caregivers that cohorting them makes the most sense.
The federal government has identified 55 hospitals to transfer people with emerging infectious diseases like Ebola, including 2 in Texas. Right now, those places are the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston and Texas Children's Hospital in Houston. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.